Thank you, ladies. I am so incredibly blessed to get to be here with you. Thank you, Linda, for inviting me. Thank you, Jackie, for making my card. Appreciate that. Thank you, everyone who sets up and does all of this. I'm just so incredibly blessed to be a part of the Grace Fellowship here, and the church here, and the choir. And I look forward to being able to share with you guys my heart with God's Word. And what I'm going to be sharing today is the book of Philippians, the book that Paul to the Philippians. So let's lift it up in prayer, and then I'll share it with you, and then we'll do the message. Lord, you are so good. Thank you. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you for using us to deliver your word, that it's filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come back void. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. Thank you, Lord, for using this in my life, mostly in my personal walk with you, for the process of my sanctification, but now here I get to share it with these lovely ladies. Please bless my memory, bless this time through it, as I get to share with them Paul's word to the Philippians. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have a sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me, yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This will be a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, if you have always obeyed not only my presence, but now much more my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the world. As you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope therefore to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Finally, brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. It is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on and take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I've often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other. And yes, and I ask you, you loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord, always. I will say it again. Rejoice! Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near.
Amen.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet, it was good of you to share my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what can be credited to your account. I have received full payment, and even more, I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you. God is so good and so worthy of our time, worthy of our meditations. And I do give all glory to Christ. It's something it's been on my heart for years and years, and I haven't done it for so long, but every time I do, it's just amazing what God does. So the message today is about treasuring his word in our hearts. How do we value God's word, the Holy Scriptures? If we're asking how many times a week of reading my Bible is enough, we're asking the wrong question. We're looking at the word of God from the wrong angle. That would be considered a low view of God and a low view of Scripture, which many do. It can happen in our day of life even, where we struggle having that high view of God in Scripture, where we view God and make him smaller than he should be. He is so high and lifted up. Our cares and our concerns ebb away at that passion. And it's a struggle, but we need to focus on pushing forward in our disciplines and reading his word. We might struggle communing with God, reading his word, speaking to him continually in prayer, fellowshipping with other believers. They're symptoms of a heart problem. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. We need to not look at the symptoms or fruit, but at the heart of the matter. We want a high view of God, or a higher view of God, and a higher view of Scripture. He must increase, I must decrease. In Ephesians 6, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit in our armor. It's our only offensive weapon. I need to continue to meditate on part of the reason why we treasure it in our hearts. We need to take and wield our sword of the Spirit, fight the enemy in spiritual battles we face every day. We want to take our sword of Spirit to fight our spiritual battles, and that is why we need to internalize it. To treasure, initially when I read it, I was thinking of hiding his word in our hearts, which some versions say, but treasuring is so much deeper because you can hide dialogue, you can hide Shakespeare, and that's hiding. You memorize it. It's in your head. But it's the process of going from the head to the heart where you're treasuring it, and you're soaking in every bit the Holy Spirit can give you. And more. And I've been going through this book for years, and I'm still getting more out of it. So you can't outget more things from it. To treasure, just as a general definition, it's something of great worth or value as a transitive verb, to hold or keep as precious, to cherish, to prize, to collect and store up. It's something of value for future use. So that's how we want to think about the Scriptures. Psalm 119:11, I have treasured your word on my heart that I might not sin against you. And that's what we want to do, is treasure it. We want to cherish it, prize it, hold it precious. And Scripture memory and treasuring that is a type of weight training tool to finish our race well. We want as much Scripture in us as possible. His word is enough. We need to remind ourselves of that. Remind ourselves it's his word to us, that many died translating this word into English and getting the Scriptures in our hands it is today. Thank God, and for how grateful we should be to even have it in our hands. But we treat it as common often. I struggle with all of these things I'm speaking on right now, so I'm not saying I don't struggle with it, but just focusing on being so grateful that we even have the Scriptures in our hands and that it's God's entire word to us. If God wanted to share a message with you, you would want to know it, and it's right in front of us all the time in our Bibles. Sometimes being disciplined in a devotional reading can feel like a to-do or chore, but we always see it as a great blessing that we have the invitation to hear from God, hear the depths of his heart for us, and we should hunger for eternal things. Encourage ourselves, ladies, with each other as a reminder to have a high view of God, high view of Scripture. Read it regularly, pray over it, listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying through it. Never forget to be in obedience to what his word says. Don't just be hearers. We want to be doers of the word. As I said, Psalm 119:11, your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. We want to do what it says and not sin against him. And that's part of the reason of treasuring it, is to be living a sanctified life for Christ. We want to be holy as he is holy. We want to internalize that word inside of us, in our hearts. And many of you women do have exposure with this. Exposure with memorizing Scripture. Right now, it's a transitional season for our church, and really any season. I wanted to share with you my heart for this discipline, to challenge you to go beyond hiding it in your heart and rattling it off subconsciously or just flippantly, and hide it, that we would treasure it, not just head knowledge. And often with disciplines, it's finding the right reason or motivation behind why we want to do something. It encourages us to actually change instead of thinking of the negative or things that we struggle with. If we think about the fruit that comes from it, it's a lot easier. Any kind of bad habits, you want to, talking about eating healthy or doing anything, you have to want to do it for yourself. That includes spiritual disciplines. In order to do it, you have to want it for yourself. You have to Pray for hunger for the word. Pray for hunger that God opens your eyes to what's in the scriptures, to want to go deeper than maybe you've studied it, but to go even deeper and treasure it more. There's fruit that comes from this discipline. Our sanctification, becoming more like Christ, living in accordance with his word. The work's been done for us. We have God's written word to us in our possession. We just need to unearth the treasures inside of the scriptures and dig deep in what he's saying to us through them. With the earthly discipline, for instance, of diet and exercise, maybe you notice after eating better, feeling better, it's encouraging, but then we see that dessert. We know sugar's not good for us, but we know the benefits of eating healthy and exercise, but we all struggle with it because it doesn't feel as fun. Good habits are challenging because they are hard. But it is thinking on the, like I said, the positive results. They encourage us to keep moving forward with these disciplines. One point I've heard is figure out your why. In every discipline, figure out why. Why are you doing the thing you're doing? It's same with spiritual disciplines. This applies to reading our Bibles every day, praying every day, staying in fellowship. Dwell on the good fruit that comes from doing these things. Then, from that standpoint, work on the complaining in our hearts when it's hard, whether it's time-consuming or I have things to do. Spending time in the Word of God and living in obedience to it, treasuring it in our hearts so that we may not sin against us. Him is some of our why. We want to also be used by God as much as we can and draw those to himself. And in those spiritual disciplines, he can use each one of us to draw those who don't know him or call him Lord yet, to draw them to himself, to reveal who he is, whether it's quoting scripture or praying with somebody. We want to grow in these areas. Another positive that I've leaned on is so much easier to not deal with the consequences that come from our sin if we're not doing that sin to begin with. If he's reminding us in our hearts about the scriptures and knowing that what we're doing is sin, whether we don't do it or deal with it fast, we deal with his rebuke, the discipline from God when we do sin, we have that scripture in our hearts that helps us to repent faster, to see our sin more. We see just how far we've fallen and how wicked, desperately wicked our hearts truly are. It helps us to sin less in our efforts to be sinless. Regarding strengthening ourselves in the Lord, we find strength in God as we meditate on his word and we remember his promises to us. Turn to the word God and be strengthened in him. Most of the time, the scripture I treasure in my heart is for my own personal sanctification. It's for my own personal relationship with the Lord. It's a gift God is using in me, but I'm blessed to be given the opportunity today to share it with you ladies, encourage you. I love sharing the scripture that I'm treasuring in my heart. Knowing that the Lord does the work through his word, it will not come back void. It will not return to him empty without accomplishing what pleases him. It affects the heart of whoever hears it. There are some more positive benefits with dwelling when I'm struggling in this area. There's more positive benefits to dwell on with meditating on scripture and treasuring it. But I'm pushing forward to continue to do this. I hadn't done it for a long time. I still had it all in my heart, what I had, but I hadn't re-memorized and really worked on it. But I'm pushing forward to treasure it more and work on it. So as an example of a recent treasure that I had is I heard a roundtable about the LSB, Joe Zekovich, Pastor Joe. He said Psalm 23:6, LSB followed the NASB and kept it pursue instead of follow. So Psalm 23:6, most times you hear it, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. LSB kept the NASB, and surely goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life. I looked more into it just because that sounded like amazing, and I was so blessed by it, and it was a treasure for me. It's basically his divine goodness and steadfast mercy are actively pursuing and accompanying you. Actively chasing after you throughout your life, not passively following you. So it ensures us his goodness and mercy are with us in every moment. That was freed. That's your treasure. A treasure for you. No, but that's something I just recently started meditating on, and I'm like, wow, Lord, you are so good. Your mercy, your steadfast mercy, your divine goodness are actively pursuing me. It's not just following me like a puppy dog. A couple of scriptures I wanted to share to encourage us to treasure his word. Isaiah 55:11. So will my word be, which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, as I've said this one, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the purpose for which I sent it. The why of why we want to treasure his word, it will not return to me empty. Proverbs 2:1-5. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, to make your ear pay attention to wisdom, incline your ear to heart to discernment, for if you call out for understanding, give your voice for discernment, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of Yahweh and find the knowledge of God. The why of why we treasure the word in our hearts is the healthy fear of Yahweh we all want to have as believers. And to find knowledge of God. His wisdom is so much better. His wisdom is so much better than man's wisdom. Proverbs 7:1-3. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. The why of treasuring commandments in Proverbs 7:1-3? To live. We want to treasure his commandments, keep my commandments, and live. Deuteronomy 6, the last verses I'll read, 1-6. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you all the days of your life, and that your day may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart. It's such a powerful number of verses, and there's so many things trying to highlight of just how much we want his commandments, his words in our hearts, and to be obedient to them. Dr. Abner Chow, regarding John MacArthur treasuring the word on his heart at TMS Chapel about 1 month ago, some of you might know this story. He was talking about John MacArthur. And he said, what he was upset with was the depth, What he was obsessed with was the depth of his ministry. He was obsessed with the word of God, John MacArthur was. He knew his Bible. Abner shared an illustration that gets him because it showed him how thoroughly Pastor John MacArthur knew the word of God, how immersed he was in it. With translating the Legacy Standard, they often had questions. In the translation committee, if they couldn't figure it out, they're like, we should ask Pastor John. So they would call him. And often, Pastor John was always driving. So Abner would then call. There's a list of questions. And Pastor John, with these lists, he could never figure the right time. How do you think about this Greek term? How do you think about this passage? Abner said, it was amazing because he was driving and would be able to say, oh yeah, that Greek term, wasn't that also found in Philippians? Wasn't that found in Colossians? Wasn't that in Hebrews? And Hebrews is used different here. Isn't that right? Am I thinking about that right? Yeah. Abner said, the guy is Logos Bible software while he's driving. Here was a man who was so steeped in the word of God that knew it while he drove. He could recite it. He could understand it. I'm so encouraged by him. He was a man whom the word of God had mastery over him, even as he mastered the word of God. I love that story. In the book Remain Faithful in Ministry, John MacArthur says, truth commends itself to the human conscience. We don't have to defend the word of God. It has a glory all its own. It has a power all its own. All right. So now, next piece, it's a little piece of paper. We're gonna practice doing this. We're going to practice learning a scripture. You might already know it. A lot of you ladies already know it. Learning a scripture and treasuring it a little bit. So in the entertainment industry, I'm just giving you a tool, a way that some of them, I've heard of several actors, that they memorize their lines faster is they write the first letter of every word of their script. And so in front of you is Colossians 3:16, the first letter of every word. And the way this is going to be easy, I didn't write Colossians 3:16. I didn't want to cheat or give anything away. But John 3:16, Colossians 3:16. So that's super simple to remember Colossians 3:16. The verse is, repeat, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Go ahead, repeat it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness in your hearts to God. Let's try it one more time, looking at your piece of paper. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness in your hearts to God. Yeah, so you can take that home and keep working on it. And you want to do it one more time? Okay, let's do it one more time. One more time. Okay. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness in your hearts to God. Right. So praise the Lord. Take it home, and then you eventually won't even need that piece of paper. But when you're memorizing, that's a trick you could use to help you memorize quick. You're welcome. That is Colossians 3:16. So that's why I think John 3:16, Colossians 3:16. And then beyond that, as you ladies meditate on it, think, just dwell on each word, because they're all powerful. Like, let the word of Christ, submit to it. Let it have mastery over you. You can go so deep with each word and become a very powerful tool in the scriptures you know. So let it have mastery over it. The word of Christ, Christ himself, let it dwell in you richly. How much wisdom? All wisdom. Teaching, admonishing one another. And this is for our worship. With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, this is a very good song, good verse to memorize in our personal and corporate worship. So you can, at home, just, it's working on that process of getting it in your head, and once it's in your heart, continually put it in your heart and study it and look at commentaries, and there's all sorts of ways you can go deeper in it. Yep, Colossians 3:16. And it is a slow process at first. But it goes faster the more you do it. And, I mean, it happened a lot faster when I was younger, but it's always, anytime is a great time to start. Logan said, wait till you're in your 70s. I'm like, oh, no. No. how fast I can memorize, you know, because I think about when I was in my 20s, and it's harder now in my 40s, so start now. I would continue now if you already do it. But don't give up. That's the point, is don't give up. Know that there's riches and treasures in each verse, because it's all God's word. It's all God breathed. And resist giving, but, or why you can't. Start now. Start small. Treasure one verse or a few verses, like the one I just have in front of you. Rememorize something you've memorized in the past. Spend time chewing on it. cows. I don't know if you heard the term chewing the cow's cud or whatever. Cows chewing their cud, known as rumination, I looked this up, is a process of cows regurgitating, re-chewing, re-swallowing food to digest grass more thoroughly. Their plant-based diet is difficult to break down in a single pass. This re-chewing, along with an increased saliva production, helps break the tough cellulose in plants into smaller particles and releases more nutrients for digestion by the microbes in their four-chambered stomach, which, when you think about it, sounds a lot like treasuring his word in our hearts, where we chew it and it's really, we get it, but we don't. We swallow it, we bring it back up to mind, and then we put it back in our hearts. And it's this process of going up and down. So be encouraged that it's a process and that we want to just focus on continuing in that process of treasuring it and get as much as you can. Learn more about the verse that you know, commentaries, look up a Grace Church sermon about the verse you memorized, meditate on it, add more verses around the part you know to give it more context. You won't be fluid or mastered overnight, but keep working on it. It's all about repetition. Some people use note cards. I personally don't because I do bigger sections, but I know some people do individual verses. But then I showed you the example of the first letter of every word written out. Different ways of treasuring it. Go through every verse that you have memorized with a commentary or the MacArthur Study Bible. Get a better understanding of the text itself and listen to sermons regarding that text. Something interesting to me that I saw a while back was these British actors that came out and they all said, to be or not to be, that is a question. The first person comes out and says, to be or not to be, that is the question. Second, to be or not to be, that is the question. To be or not to be, that is the question. Last person, to be or not to be, that is the question. And by doing that, it was interesting watching because I've done that with scripture often. It's not that it changes the meaning, the definition, but it highlights different parts of what God's trying to speak to us by dwelling on each individual word. So I thought that was cool. And for instance, Amazing Grace, in our worship, I want to encourage you guys to resist autopiloting through music, through hymns, through our corporate worship, individual worship. It's so easy to sing Amazing Grace in your head. And just because we know the lyrics, we've done it our whole lives. But our spiritual song, our psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs help to make God's word more powerful and memorable in the hymns. And even it says whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, lovely, or admirable, think about such things. And I think hymns and our worship, our music, apply to that. These things are lovely and excellent and praiseworthy. We should try to think about such things and not just flippantly autopilot and wait to get to the sermon. They're to prepare us for the Word of God. And so it's to encourage you to treasure it. For instance, like Amazing Grace. In Grace Today, I don't know if you ladies know, but I've already seen the bulletin for Sunday. They'll have it out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, somewhere around there. And you can look, and you can look at what hymns are there. And I will go and I'll look up the hymns and I'll look at them and I at least get the melody just so I'm not like so focused on the notes or the whatever notes you're singing and tinker through them so that on Sunday I can focus on the words. If I have time, then I really do read the words and look at them. So on worship at Sundays, I have already thought about the words and meditated on them. And it's hard not to like react to these beautiful truths that are in our hymns if they're already in my heart, that I'm able to worship him in a very, I hope, genuine way. But I'm just, the Lord is so great. And I'm just so encouraged in these powerful words in here that I get to worship with Grace Community Church doing this. And so I try to put in the work. And also with the things the choir sing, I try to go ahead and get it mostly memorized so it's in me. I know over time we'll be repeating songs and I'll be able to get better and better at having it fully memorized. But I do want to make effort to get it in much of my heart as possible so that someday I'm not scrambling to figure out where I'm going in the piece or in the hymns And I can really meditate on the truth of God with the corporate body, which is such a beautiful blessing. So as the encouragement for you to treasure scripture, it's already chew on it, study it, meditate on it, internalize it, let it be living and active in your heart so that we don't rattle it off as head knowledge. To kind of wrap things up, we want to look for a high view of God, a high view of scripture. It's living and active. Let it live in you. So, and now the butterfly pins. If my husband would help. This is just something simple. Last time I spoke, I gave some pins out, and I love doing that. And so these are butterflies with scriptures on them. I don't know, like, as far as context, you guys can trade whichever ones you want. But they have scriptures on them. And part of the intent was if you wear them or have them in your purse or whatever, and they're not going to be able to read them because the print's so small. What's on that butterfly? What does it say? Opens up the door to a conversation about the scriptures. And I encourage you ladies that whatever the scriptures say, whatever verse you want to memorize or whatever version of that scripture you want to memorize, you can memorize it and even some context around it if you want. So it's just a nice little evangelism tool to reach out to people that, oh, nice butterfly. Oh, what's on that? You know, and you can read the verse to them. And in regarding the butterflies, at first I was like, butterflies. But then it reminded me of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So in our life, just like it's a complete transformation we are a new creation, just like the butterflies that transform in their form. And which made me think, as the verse says, to be in Christ. It's referencing the believer's redemption through Jesus Christ. God is absolutely and perfectly holy. Therefore requires holiness of us, 1 Peter 1:16. You shall be holy, for I am holy. We are all guilty of sin, Romans 3:10. There's none righteous, not even one. God's holiness and justice demand that all sinners be punished by eternal death in hell. Romans 6:23 states, for the wages of sin is death, but the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In order to redeem that cost of our sin we can never pay, God sent his Son into the world to live the perfect life we couldn't live. And in his sinless perfection, he died on the cross and was raised to life to satisfy the demands of God's holiness and his wrath. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him, thereby enabling him to forgive and save those who place their faith in him. If any ladies in this room do not have a saving faith in Jesus, is there anything holding you back from trusting Jesus right now? Today is the day of salvation. We are not promised tomorrow, so don't miss this chance to repent of your sins and trust in him to make him the Lord and Savior of your life today. The rest of us, let's be encouraged to treasure his word more and more. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for your written word, your eternal word full of your spirit that transforms us. We are new creations, Lord. All those old things, we put them behind and strain towards what is ahead. Thank you, Lord, for this new life in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us today, even now, to start working on putting your word more in our hearts and treasuring it as the prize, treasuring it as it should be, and that we would unearth these treasures at home, even with the verse we came with today for Colossians 3:16. We thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for these ladies to get together. We pray that you would bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.